Amen. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Let us pray. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we do bless your name. We thank you so much for the gift of life and health and strength. What a joy it is to wake up and be in the land of the living. Thank you for the soundness of mind to know that we need to be in church where we can worship you in the beauty of holiness. Father, we pray that as your word goes forth, that it will fall on fertile soil, that someone who does not know you in the free pardon of their sin might be saved. Lord, we thank you for what you're about to do in our midst. We ask it all in the matchless name of Jesus Christ and our soon to come reigning King, we pray. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. That's it. Amen. Thank God for the young voices. Hallelujah. I want to invite your attention to John chapter 16, verse 7, and Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I want to talk about surrendering more of ourselves to the Holy Spirit. Pentecost means 50. It was 50 days after the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that God sent down the Holy Spirit to indwell believers. From that day forward, everyone who confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior were indwelt by the power of the Holy Spirit. The church was also established with the 120 who were in the upper room. That 120 was not some arbitrary number, but it speaks to it had to be at least 120 men in order for there to be a synagogue. So here we have God fulfilling his promise that he would send the helper. So let's read scripture and move from there. John 16, 7 in the Amplified Bible reads, but I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, standby. Let me repeat those again. I get excited. Listen, when I was pulling this together, I almost started running around the house. I kid you not. If I don't get excited as I begin to prepare for you, as I look at your faces, it ain't going to work. That dog ain't going to hunt. But when I begin, and I'm going to try to get to the next verse. I really am because I got a little bit of time and a short time to get there. But when you look at this, at what it says, who is going to be indwelling you? Who is our partner? I'm going to say it again. It says helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counselor, strengthener, and standby, who will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him, the Holy Spirit, to you to be in close fellowship with you. Hallelujah. And then in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, but when the day of Pentecost has fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I want to put a tag on this. I was looking at come out with your hands up, surrendering more of yourself to the Holy Spirit. Dan Wallace is not a household name to most of us, but his testimony is interesting. Dan Wallace is a New Testament studies professor at Dallas Theological Seminary. And he really began to rethink his relationship with the Holy Spirit when his 8-year-old son was diagnosed with cancer. For the most part, he did not have a conscious dependence and awareness of the Holy Spirit. Let me put a pin in that. Now, he's teaching at one of the premier seminaries in the country, and yet he was not even quite sure himself of where he was as it relates to the Holy Spirit. Amazing. That means you can preach, teach, you can be in ministry, and really not ministering under the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen to his testimony. I wanted to read it because memory not like it used to be. But this is what he says. It's interesting. Through this experience of his son's cancer, I found that the Bible was not adequate. Let me finish. I needed God in a personal way, not as an object of my study, but as friend, guide, comforter. I needed an experience of the Holy One. Quite frankly, I found that the Bible was not the answer. I found the scriptures to be helpful, even authoritatively helpful, as a guide. But without feeling God, the Bible gave me little solace. In the midst of this summer from hell, I began to examine what had become of my faith. I found a longing to get closer to God, but found myself unable to do so through my normal means of exegesis, breaking down scripture, knowing tenses and all of that, scripture reading, and more exegesis. I believe I had depersonalized God so much that when I really needed him, I did not know how to relate. I longed for him. I looked for God, but all I found was a suffocation of the Spirit in my evangelical tradition as well as in my own heart. But the story got better because he came to the realization of what he needed to do to get right with the Holy Spirit, to have more of an intimate walk and relationship with him. As I looked at that, and as I look at how God gave us the Holy Spirit, the helper, the comforter, the strengthener, it occurred to me that so many of us are like this man, Dan Wallace. We know what to say. We have a lot of Bible knowledge and information, but sometimes that which we need most is sorely lacking, and that is a genuine and authentic relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because if I'm going to be the kind of husband, the kind of father, the kind of disciple, the kind of preacher, the worship leader, whatever it is, if I'm going to be that, I need the power of the Holy Spirit residing within me. Otherwise, I'm empty brass and a tinkling cymbal. But he gave us, knowing our predicament, knowing how messed up we are, he said, I'm going away, but I'm going to send someone just like me to be with you. I don't know about you, but that's shouting news right there, that he sent someone by the person of the Holy Spirit to be with us. Come on now, you got to feel this thing. He's with us. He's in us and among you. Amen. The comforter, the strengthener, the standby. That means whatever you go through, he's there. And beloved, we need to act like he's there. And too often, beloved, we don't. We relegate him to the sideline. And he says, here I am. I'm your comforter. I'm your helper. And we won't go to him. We won't go to him. Everything we need is there. So here's my first point. I'm going to be out of your way. Confess your need and dependence upon the Holy Spirit daily. You know why? Because we're busy. We have a lot going on in our lives. We're making all kinds of decisions. And oftentimes, he's not in them. My flesh is making decisions. And it ain't nothing good in this thing on my best day. And listen, same with you. In me dwelleth no good thing. The reason I got to confess him daily is because I need to keep him ever before me. Because I know my proclivity and my propensity is to just do wrong. And when you do him, you're in trouble. Because he's liable to go the opposite way than what God intends him to go. I need to call upon him daily. Daily. Listen, we need to get in the habit. And see, part of it is the reason so many of us struggle with this whole thing of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you the truth? Oftentimes when it's talked about Pentecost, folks are like, oh, Lord, they handling snakes and they up there with, oh, Lord Jesus, we don't know what they're going to be doing. You think folks running around, out of control, unleashed, we don't know what they're doing. Part of our dilemma is that we don't always see the Holy Spirit as a person, co-equal, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And as a result of that, we don't always believe, for whatever reason, that he's going to do what we think he can do. So therefore, we don't even approach. We don't even include him because we don't see him as a person. When you talk about the Holy Spirit, people, they're so emotional. They're just manipulating people. There's some folks that think like that. And they'll say, well, gee, they always crying. They just can't, life can't always be that bad. They got to be some good days. Listen, you don't know people's story. You don't know their story. And if you knew their story, you might would be worshiping with them. Confess him daily. And the reason I do that is because he is, they say a paraclete. He's the one who comes alongside. He's the one who is my, do you ever need someone to come alongside of you? I know y'all got it all together and you're pretty tight, but every now and then I like to have the company of someone with me when I go through a situation or predicament. I need them to just stand by me and for me to know their presence. Just come with me. Have you ever done that to someone? Just go with them. And your presence makes all the difference in the world. We have the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, our helper, our comforter, who is with us. That's what he did. He released them. So you're never without a comforter. I don't care how bad, how dark, how difficult the days or things get. I have one who can give me comfort in my predicament. I don't know how he does it. Sometimes he raises up people who he uses to comfort you. Sometimes you go to the scriptures. Sometimes it's through prayer. But God is about the business of providing comfort to those who put their faith, trust, and hope in him. He has intelligence. Remember, he's a person, not a force. Romans 8:27, he knows and searches the things of God. He possesses a mind. He has feelings. He has a will. He speaks. He intercedes. When groaning is all I can do, he leans over to the Father and says, this is what he really needs. When all I can do is groan. That's what we have available in the person of the Holy Spirit. He gives strength. When I get weak, oh, I'm glad he makes it so clear that you have dunamis power for whatever you may face. He's eternal, all powerful, all knowing. That's why I need to bring him in my life as often as I can. So as I start 2019, my prayer is, Lord, help me see you better or more. Help me surrender more of myself because you are a comforter. You are a counselor. You are a standby. You are a strengthener. And I need you to manifest yourself like that in my life daily. Because, Lord, I don't trust myself to make decisions that impact my family or others. So give me your guidance. Give me your wisdom. Give me your direction. You never go wrong with a prayer like that. I got to do it daily. Got to do it daily. Because, see, the Bible says your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You got to be girded up because, see, the enemy wants to see you not surrender to the Holy Spirit. In Daniel 7:25, it talks about how the enemy is able to come against and wear out those of the Most High God. See, beloved, that's what we're dealing with day in and day out. I'm not suggesting we need to walk around paranoid. No, at the end of the day, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I hold on to those scripture texts that can help me in the course of my day. But I need to understand that the enemy doesn't want to see me succeed and draw close to the Holy Spirit. In fact, the less I am with the Holy Spirit, the better he feels because he tends to have more control over my life. Enemy, we got someone who's on our trail, does not want to see you have a good relationship with the Holy Spirit. It has something to do with the power of habit. The power of habit. The power of habit is an amazing thing. Any of y'all got some habits that you wish you didn't have, but habits, oh Lord. And it's amazing how we do things. We're in a habit of going to work. Yeah, I'm in a habit of paying my bills. I got some habits. But I want to cultivate a habit of making sure I'm in the face of the Holy Spirit. Okay. Daniel had a habit. Bible says 3 times a day he prayed toward Jerusalem. Now, he wasn't supposed to be doing that, but see, when you get a good habit like going before the Lord, you can't let it go. The fellowship is so sweet. You say, nah, I don't care what you say. I'm gonna get in the master's face. That was a habit. Okay, it talks about the psalmist. He said, meditate on the word of God day and night. It was a habit, day and night. It was the power of a habit. Even Jesus knew something about the power of a habit. Scripture says he went to the synagogue as was his custom. The power of a habit. All I'm suggesting is that we get in the habit as we look at 2019 in the morning of this year of getting in the face and confessing to the Holy Spirit that we are dependent upon him. I want to see him do some new and exciting things in my life. Okay, the second thing is, if we're going to surrender and come out with our hands up and saying, Lord, here I am. I'm tired of trying to avoid you and not including you. Be open to the Holy Spirit. It's one thing to go to him, but if we're not going to be open to him, that's for naught. I mean, if you're going to go to him, at least be open to what he wants to do in us. In other words, when I say open, I'm not going to put up any barrier between me and what he wants to do through me and in my life. I'm not going to let a barrier get there. In verse 2 and chapter 2 of Acts, this is what it says. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. The wind and breath is nothing more than a symbol of the Holy Spirit. He wants to breathe. Listen, some of us have some dead situations or situations that are on life support. They're about ready to die. And we need the breath of the Holy Spirit, the wind, to be able to breathe life back into some situations or circumstances that we may be in. Wind. This wind was so strong. Some suggest it was almost tornado-like. And it filled the whole room where they were. Think about wind. Wind can change directions. One minute it's going this way, then all of a sudden on a dime it starts going another way. I can't explain. Most of us have seen the damage that wind can do. And maybe God wants to get beneath some of the stuff, like a sail. Sails, boats can only go as long as there's some wind that is able to get beneath it and push it. And some of us need the wind of the Holy Spirit to push us in some areas and situations in our lives. I don't know what yours is. We all have some situations where we need his wind to get beneath it and to push us forward and propel us into some things. Wind, it can lift up. The Holy Spirit can still change hearts, minds. Let the wind get beneath that attitude that you have where you are not able to get along with anybody. You need the wind of the Holy Spirit to get beneath it. And then he talks about fire. Look at what he says. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, one sat upon each of them. Fire. Remember, the children of Israel were led by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. In Hebrews, it talks about our God being a consuming fire. Fire can light, it can give warmth. Maybe, just maybe, some of us need to experience the warmth of the Holy Spirit as it relates to some of our attitudes. Maybe the standoffish, the coldness that sometimes we project needs to be melted by way of the fire that can only come by way of the Holy Spirit. Remember how Jesus was talking about Laodicea? The folks were neither hot nor cold. And he said, I'm going to spew you out because you're lukewarm, which means Jesus likes folks to have some degree of fire about them. And when you think about what he's done in your life, there ought to be some degree of fire. There ought to be a spark every now and then when you think about what God is doing in your life. Fire of praise, thanksgiving, rejoicing. And quite frankly, some of us not crazy about the wind or fire because we would prefer to keep things like they are. Man, don't touch this, because see, I know what to expect here. This is safe. This is predictable. I travel in that circuit, but don't start disturbing anything with wind or fire. You come too far now. You need to go on back home somewhere because we don't do that here. You can tell when you're open to the Holy Spirit because when church run late, you don't get upset. Uh-huh. Oh, I'm doing it now. I know. I'm on my way out soon. I'll be home soon. Don't worry about it. Open to the Spirit says, we're going to do things a little different. Instead of doing it this way, we're going to do it that way. You're not open if you're going to start fussing and getting up complaining about something being done different. I'm going to leave. That's Jim's message for next week. I'm going to leave y'all alone because he's dealing with the church. I just wanted to put that. I mean, but even as it relates to worship, let me park here for a minute because the Holy Spirit is even critical as it relates to the whole idea of worship. Don't you know one of the best things you can do? I want you to be open to praying for your elders and your deacons. Be open to those who are working with them babies back there, who spilling stuff and knocking stuff. Pray for them. Seriously, be open to, Lord, how can I be used by you to advance your kingdom by way of prayer? Holy Spirit, give me the words to say. I don't know what to say, but I'm trusting you to do that. Pray for your leadership and the folk they got to deal with who ain't always smiling. Be open to that. That's all. Look, I'm just saying, be open. Don't put anything in the way between you and helping advance the cause of Christ through the men and women that he's using here to advance his kingdom. Pray that when the brother or sister, whoever leads worship, when they stand up, pray that they have been praying all week. And when they get up here, they're not cold because they just got up here and sang because they had to sing. No, they're singing because it's coming from the heart. They've been bathing this thing in prayer throughout the week. The Holy Spirit has been meditating upon their hearts to do something. Their time that they spend in the Word, pray that they spend time in the gospel, reading about the Word of God and reading the Word of God. Because they're coming before you. Open to the Spirit. My wife was at went to the hospital to visit her brother. And she said something interesting. You know, I went to the hospital and see Eric. And while I was there on the elevator, I saw this woman. And she just looked troubled. And I began a conversation with her. And she said to the woman, whose face was crestfallen, difficult time, she said, do you mind if I give you a hug? And the woman said, yes. And she just started to embrace the woman. She didn't know the woman. But the Holy Spirit moved in such a way that she was open to the nudging and prompting of the Holy Spirit. How much better would it be when you and I, as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, are open to how God wants to move in our lives at any given moment? Some people say, why would you do that? You don't know that lady. No, but I know Jesus. I know Jesus, and I'm looking like him when I do this kind of thing. Because see, even Jesus was open to the Holy Spirit. Jesus healed folk. He raised Jesus, all of what he did was by way of the Holy Spirit empowering him to do what he had to do. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit and was open to the Holy Spirit, ought not we be open to the Holy Spirit to see what he's going to do? It ought to be some fun times when you open yourself up to the Holy Spirit, because you never know what he's going to do. But Lord, I'm just trusting you, and I'm foolish enough to believe if you said to do it, I'm going to do it and leave the outcome to you. Listen, I'll be out of your way. Oh, Lord. And I'll make it brief. Do a five-minute football. That's another 10, 15 minutes, right? not really. Listen, beloved. Thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I mean, as you are seeking his face, as you are being open to him, I challenge you and encourage you to thank God for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to pray for it. We don't have to tarry. Thank God that he kept his promise when he told them that he was going to send a helper, that he kept his promise, and he did. Isn't that good to know? He said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh. That's us. He kept his promise. The Holy Spirit points to the amazing grace of God. Listen, he knew how messed up we were, and he said, I'm not going to leave. Look, be careful. Be calm. I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm going to send one that looks just like me. He's coming. And he's alive within us and among us now. The only thing you have to do, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And guess what? The moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit takes up permanent abode within the believer. And we're sealed. It was his mark upon us. I belong to him. We belong to him. So thank him. Thank him that he is our guide. Thank you. Thank you for being my standby. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for how you took care of me in 2018. Thank you for the doors that you have opened. Thank you for your presence in my life. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for not giving up on me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for another chance. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for watching over my family. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the fruit of the Spirit that you have within me. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for raising up my sick loved ones. Thank you, Holy Spirit, when you didn't, you gave me strength to endure. Thank you, Holy Spirit, Thank you, heavenly dove. Oh, Lord. So, beloved, come out with your hands up. That's the best posture you can face the Holy Spirit in. Hands up unto him with a heart of gratitude and thanksgiving for all he's doing in your life and what he has yet to do. I'm going to look at 2019 differently, as opportunity, as potential, as promise, because the Holy Spirit is with me, strengthening me, by me, an advocate and my helper. And with that, I can face whatever challenge comes my way, because God is a good God. And Father, we bless your name. We thank you so much for the Holy Spirit, his power, his presence, his promises in our life, Lord. And I pray that we just might be open to the Holy Spirit, that we would learn to confess our dependence upon the Holy Spirit daily, and that we would have a thankful heart for the gift of the Holy Spirit that you've given each and every one of us to confess our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray and ask these things. Amen.